This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Hello and welcome to Tracks on the Line, the show on Trek.fm where we provide audio commentary for every episode of Star Trek Picard. I'm Mike.
And I'm Max.
And today we are providing audio commentary for Season 1, Episode 3 of Star Trek Picard. The end is the beginning is the end. Yeah. That's not, Smashing Pumpkins.
That's not what it's called.
Reference to Akiva Goldsman's Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I sure hope that that's the joke. Because, like, that's one of those things that we as a people should never forget.
Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people would disagree with you on that. I saw it about 6 months ago. They were showing it for, I think it was Batman's 80th anniversary, so they showed all four of the original Batman movies on the big screen, so I got to see it in 4K. It was not good.
Well, I mean, I think that it's important that we remember that no matter how good you are, no matter how talented everyone involved in is, like in this project, no matter how good everyone is, you can still go horribly astray.
There were a lot of outside factors at play with Batman and Robin, for sure. If you watch the behind-the-scenes documentary on that Blu-ray or DVD, it's really interesting because, you know, it was done years later and everyone was rather candid about it and they were not too happy with the outcome. Although I will say, and this, you know, I have on many occasions and will continue to say, that Batman Forever is awesome. Also written by Akiva Goldsman.
Okay.
So there you go. Okay, but we're not talking about Batman Forever, unfortunately. We're going to be discussing The End is the Beginning.
Yep.
Is the end.
No.
Let's see. It's now 9:24 a.m., which means the episode has been live for 57 hours.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen it in that time?
Six.
Six. Okay. This, you're starting to normalize, I think.
Well, I mean, I watched the first two episodes before I watched the third episode each time.
Okay. So it's kind of a cumulative thing.
Yeah, I mean, eventually it'll be at a point where, like, I watch all of the episodes in a row, and I don't know how long that'll take, but it's going to mean that I can't do, like, eight episodes in a day. It's just not a thing.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, since we last spoke, I went to Jewel, and I got some Twinings Earl Grey. I got the caffeinated and the decaf. So far, I've only had the caffeinated because the first time I was like, well, I want to try the real stuff first. And the second time, it was 5:30 in the morning to watch this episode. So I haven't tried the decaf yet. But I do think that it's a decent tea. I still personally prefer Bigelow. But this one, I don't know, it's a little more orange pico-y than the Bigelow, I think. But it's still a pretty solid. I'll definitely use it in a pinch or when I'm watching Picard, because, you know, you want this to be a multi-sensory experience, right? It's like 4DX or whatever, you know? And I like being able to see Picard, hear Picard, and taste Picard, right?
Sure. Let's just type that into Google and see what comes up.
Okay. I also have a bottle of that wine. I don't particularly want to open it because I don't drink wine, and I guess my impression was just like clearly like a wine based on a, you know, streaming TV show is probably going to taste bad, right? I mean, it's probably not going to be the highest quality wine out there.
Maybe. I would say keep it close just because eventually it's going to be worth a lot of money.
I mean, that could be, yeah. A friend of the network, Tim Robertson, who knows a lot about wine, and he gave a, like, wine connoisseur's review of it. And I'm not 100% sure what all of it means. In fact, I'm sure that I don't know what 99% of it means. But the impression that I got from his review is it's not bad. You know, it's like it's not great, but it's not bad. Like if wines were Batman movies, this would be a Batman Forever. That's my impression.
God, we're going back to that. Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe one day I will open up this bottle of wine and drink some Picard. I don't know. You know?
I don't have feelings about it at all.
Okay. But last week I was saying like, oh, Twining still exists? Like brands? That's weird. And like, yes, we know that Chateau Picard is a thing, right? So, okay, that's fine. But when I opened my tea bag, I saw that on the little tag that they have at the end of the string, it said that Twining's was established in like 1705 or something like that. So it's reasonable to assume that they're going to be around for another 400 years. I mean, they're older than the United States of America, right? So,
yeah, I mean, there's no reason to assume that any like a long running business that makes something would be gone, like just because, you know, civilization moves beyond an economy of scarcity and into an economy of abundance. There's no reason to assume that those things would vanish. There's every reason to assume that they might become smaller and more managed by smaller groups of people, and what they produce would not be valued monetarily so much as socially.
So maybe like Twining's is no longer something that you can buy in Jewel. Maybe it is like a specialty brand that would be hard to come by. It's like, oh shit, I got the Twining's.
Yeah, it might be something that you have access to because you are friendly and know the right people or live in the right area. There's all sorts of different reasons why like these things would be valued in different ways.
Like people come over to Picard's house and they're like, how did you get Twining's? And he's like, I traded some Chateau Picard for it.
Yeah, it's totally reasonable.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty much it. Should we start this thing?
Let's start it up.
Okay. So we're going past the CBS All Access logo about 8 seconds in. So it was like in the black between the logo and the start of the show. You ready?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. We're going to give a countdown and start this up in 3, 2, 1, start. Previously on Star Trek Picard, and there's that Admiral Clancy, who it was pointed out to me on Twitter that's theoretically a character from Next Generation. It's not played by the same person in Next Gen. She's an ensign who's played by the woman who plays like Helen Hunt's like sister or best friend or something on Mad About You. You know who I'm talking about? And she's in a few episodes of Next Gen, like at Ops and stuff like that. I forget which episodes. If you saw her, you would recognize her.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember her presence.
Yeah, it's strange that they would do that. You know, I mean, I don't know, and maybe it's not the same character, but yeah, she was on Emissary. I thought she was on Elementary Dear Data, so a few episodes. But I like the idea of that continuity. But I wish they would have gotten the same actress back. That actress is still working. She played Greta Van Susteren in Bombshell, so you know, she's still around. Okay, so episode three, they got this cool. I'm going to say Transformers 3 style intro with the tragedy on Mars. And here we get to see Picard coming back from his resignation thing.
Yep.
And I guess older uniforms, like I think everyone was assuming that this was the Admiral uniform, but it doesn't seem to be the Admiral uniform. It seems to be the, I don't know, the uniform that they developed after Nemesis, but before.
Well, I mean, for an organization with like a very long tradition, they change up their uniforms a lot. Mm-hmm. On Next Gen, they went through two different uniform types and then almost immediately afterwards changed again. And then a couple years later changed again. Like they go through like uniform iterations very rapidly. So I don't really care so much about the types of uniforms that they're wearing. Like I see that he has a little gold stripe on his uniform, and I'm like, I guess that's a special thing.
Yeah, because that means
he's an admiral,
right? Yeah, the admirals always had little gold stripes.
Cool, that's fine. She doesn't have the gold stripe because she's not an admiral. Whatever, they've got little black lines on their colored section of the thing. Who cares? It's just not. I mean, it looks good. It doesn't occupy a huge amount of my attention.
Yeah, these uniforms are sharp, and you know, I was thinking about this just a few seconds ago, but like,
how many seconds ago was it?
Just a few seconds ago,
ballpark at like 10, 20, like 75, or is it over a minute?
I mean, by now it's probably over a minute since we've been talking about how many seconds it's been for a while.
Okay, all right,
but like these are not the same uniforms that they have on Lower Decks, right? I mean,
no, they're not.
Yeah. And that would be Lower Decks is a few years prior to this. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So they have a different uniform then.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that there are different ships that have different uniforms. I mean, there's precedent for that with Deep Space Nine versus Next Gen. I mean, maybe these are Starfleet Command uniforms.
You could also say that they're just pajamas, that these two are just having a real relaxed Sunday. You know, they just took a quick stop into headquarters to have a conversation, but otherwise they're dressed super cash. You could say a lot of things,
yeah,
and none of them really matter.
No, but it's still interesting. I don't know. I've always been a Star Trek uniform nerd, and it's not just limited to Star Trek. I'm also a baseball uniform nerd. So,
yep. And I've always been the sort of person who's like, you know what? I don't really care about their clothes. I think that the uniforms are actually kind of distracting. And the whole, like, uniformity aspect of this, like, this very diverse culture. I've always had qualms about everyone wearing the same uniform.
Yeah. These uniforms, again, just kind of like the uniforms that we see under normal circumstances, they're weird in that they don't have very form-fitting collars. I don't know what's up with that, you know?
Well, maybe everyone in Starfleet was like, hey, these aren't comfortable. We basically live in these things all day, every day. Shouldn't comfort be right up at the top?
I mean, maybe, but it's weird. It's like, it's almost like he's an action figure with like a removable head, you know, where you can like take off Picard's head and stick on, I don't know, Riker's head if you want. You know, there's like a big space around the collar. Like, look at that. That back collar like sticks out like 3 inches. You know what I mean? What's up with that? Why? I don't get it. Also, he's got 4 pips inside his little admiral bar, but he's only been an admiral for like 4 years max, right? I mean, probably less than that, because they said he left the Enterprise to do this. So, I mean, I guess he could have been an admiral commanding the Enterprise, but shouldn't he only have like 1 pip? You know, shouldn't he be like a rear admiral or whatever it's called? It just seems strange that he would have made that jump to like the most admiral of admirals.
He's the admiralist?
Yeah.
You're assuming that the structure follows the same like logic of previous iterations. We don't know what those 4 pips mean. We don't know if maybe they get 4 red pips. Maybe they get like 4 glowing pips.
It seems
maybe the pips like get little emojis. Maybe he, like if you're like a really exceptional admiral, you get like the sunglasses emoji in your pips. Like there's no way to know what those dots mean, bro.
It seems to be pretty consistent.
So what? Who cares?
They did introduce Commodores here, which we haven't seen Commodores since the original series, so that's weird.
Yep.
All right, so we're into the credits. Now, we've seen pictures of Picard with that little weird designy thing on his jacket. Looks like a communicator. I think I saw that same design on like
what the heck are you talking about?
He's got a little pin that looks like a communicator, right? It almost looks like 2 J's or something. But, oh, I'm sorry. Here we are. It is the Vasquez Rocks.
Yes, it is.
So I guess that answers that question. Still seems strange that, I mean, I think it's like a national park. Like they would let someone just live there. And also, I mean, considering how many TV shows and movies like shoot on this property, it seems like that would be kind of annoying to live there, because probably have to constantly leave in order to let Star Trek come in and film at this location. But I mean, that's cool, you know.
What level of reality are you confused about here?
I don't know what level of reality you're talking about.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay. And she's vaping. So
yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm sure when like film companies come in to shoot something, you know, she hooks them up with snake leaf.
Yeah. So can you get, I know that you're a vapor. Can you get snake leaf flavored vaping products?
I don't believe that is a real thing.
Are you gonna try to track down that vape cigarette vape pen?
No, I don't. I don't believe that is a real thing either.
Do you think they'll make one?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too. I mean, why not though? They make the wine, right?
Yeah, I think because it's just more complicated.
Oh, I think it's because wine doesn't have message.
Wine doesn't have organizations on every side of the problem arguing about whether or not it should exist.
That's true. Yeah. So she calls him JL.
Yeah. That is probably the only real problem I have with this.
Why?
Because it's a terrible nickname.
I think it's a good nickname.
No, it's a super awkward and strange nickname. Like, you're calling him by his first two initials. That's just weird and strange, and the circumstances that must have been behind it must have been so specific. And the idea that a nickname, like a two-syllable nickname, like has like a hard stop in between, it's a very awkward nickname. It's not good.
I don't know. I could see it happening. You know, I mean, something, it to me, it suggests that their relationship was very close, like beyond professional, right? Because for one thing,
it does. It also suggests that she's bad at coming up with nicknames, because you know what's better? Jay.
Maybe there's a reason why she went with JL, you know? Maybe it's got to go back to one specific incident, right?
It sure does. It has to go back to one extremely specific incident that I'm forced to imagine, and then go like, okay, so she just like came up with JL and stuck with it all these years, and then she sees him again after all this time and she hasn't revised her nickname procedure. No, it's all weird and awkward, and I do legitimately have a problem with the JL nickname. Plausibility barrier.
Everybody has weird nicknames for weird reasons, you know?
I agree. They do, but that nickname is awkward to say.
Okay. She doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah. She has a problem saying it because it is just an awkward nickname.
Okay. I mean, but when you think about, like, names in the Star Trek universe, it's not that bad. Like, it's certainly much easier than, you know, like, a Vulcan name, right? So JL is just like, Whatever, it's JL. I can say JL.
Sure, but it's a nickname. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Anyway, so here's Hugh.
I was so happy when he showed up. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I am really hoping that Picard and him get to meet up again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, it's there's so much mythology here, and like trying to like figure out like how things have changed over time and everything like that, where we left characters. I mean, I did watch Descent prior to the start of Picard, but I forget exactly where we left Hugh last time we saw him, which would have been like 25 years ago. But like, where was he exactly? I forget.
He was with the Borg, like
the rogue Borg guys.
The rogue Borg, the Borg resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they were still functioning when we last saw them. So presumably that just evolved over time.
For some reason, I guess I was expecting to see some, you know, like, oh, hey, it's Hugh. And what have you been up to for all these years? And he's like, well, you know, I mean, I joined a baseball team. Okay. You know.
So you want Picard to have like the mockumentary format of like The Office and Modern Family, where like after they introduce him, he has like a talking head segment where he explains what's going on and awkward and why his manager is terrible.
I hadn't thought about that, but now that you say it, I mean, yeah. Uh-oh, there goes my cat. He's about to jump on the TV screen. You get down from there. I swear to God, I'm going to kill that cat. Or he's going to kill me, one or the other. But someone is going to die. That's the point. It was a little weird. I mean, like, it was the second time that we were watching it where my wife was like, wait a minute, that's Hugh? You know? And it is, you know, but he's just doing his thing. He's just hanging out. I was very curious to see, since they've obviously made a big deal about him being on the show along with Jerry Ryan, and they've kind of specified like, oh, you know, Brent Spiner, he's just kind of there every once in a while. Same thing with Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis. But, you know, they've implied that Hugh and Seven of Nine were going to be major characters, and I'm sure that they are. But, like, he didn't get a I was curious to see if he was going to get a lead actor credit on this, you know, and he didn't. He didn't even get a special guest star credit. He got thrown into the credit role in the back. So that was a little interesting. I'm wondering if maybe he's not really going to be on a whole ton of episodes. And I'm curious to see what happens when 709 shows up. And the more that I think about it, and the more, I mean, it's sort of become like almost like a waiting for Godot scenario here, you know, like waiting for Seven. I would assume that she's going to be on the next episode from based on like some of the stuff which has been said, you know, in terms of behind the scenes stuff. But like, I kind of wish. I mean, they were able to keep it secret until Comic-Con. No one knew until that trailer dropped that she was on the show. Wouldn't it have been cool if they would have been able to keep it secret up until now, and then just next week we turn on Picard, and then all of a sudden there's 709? I mean, surely, from a marketing standpoint, that's not what you want to do, but wouldn't that have been the most amazing thing ever?
I don't share your experience of this at all. Like, I don't understand why that would be desirable. I have not been waiting for 709 to show.
Okay.
I'm into this show. Like, I figure when she shows up, it will be right.
And well, no. I figure that as well. That. I figure that as well. But at the same time, you know, if you say like let's say this was just a random Star Trek show, right? And they were like, sooner or later, Picard's going to show up. Wouldn't you be like, oh my God, I can't wait until Picard shows up? You know? Yes, you would. Anyway.
No. I would think that like whenever, hopefully, if the show is good, I will just be content to know that when he shows up, it will be amazing.
Okay. All right. We missed the Vulcan / Romulan wearing sunglasses. I guess that's how you know that she's not a Vulcan, because, you know, Vulcans, I think, don't need sunglasses, right? There's the whole thing with their inner eyelids and everything like that.
Yeah, but they still want to look cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that case, she succeeded. That was pretty cool. She got the Wayfarers on, you know, like Vulcan Wayfarers. You know, they're not like human Wayfarers. You know, they point up at the ends like their eyebrows. Oh, so this is our new ship.
Yeah.
What's it called? Does it have a ship?
Does it have a ship?
Yeah.
Does it have a name?
Does it have a name?
I don't believe that it has been said on the show. I believe I saw some indication of the name, like in like some early material about the show before it started. And I said, that's probably wrong. So I disregarded it.
Okay.
But
so they haven't said it on screen?
No.
Okay. So here we are, introduced to Rios.
I don't do a lot of speculating about like future plot developments. I try not to. Sometimes it just sort of happens and I go with it, and sometimes it sort of happens and I fight it. But I'm having a hard time not speculating on future plot developments in this show.
Okay.
And it's a little bit frustrating. It might just be a result of watching it too much. And it's sort of like living in my subconscious while I'm asleep. But like, I have started to go weird about things that are happening in the future of the show, and some sort of predictive analysis is happening without my consent or awareness most of the time.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a point where, basically Picard is going to be like, oh, Allison Pill, you're a bad guy. and she's going to then be presumed to be a bad guy, but not actually. And it seems that they're implying that there's some sort of like subterfuge going on. Her appearance later on is very suspicious. Her talking with the secret Romulan definitely raises some red flags. She then immediately tells Picard all about it, which kind of mirrors the like the ongoing like double secret bluff clue leads thing that the show has going on, where, you know, there's a clue wrapped inside of a false clue, I'm a little annoyed by that.
Well, I mean, like, that was what my wife was saying when she shows up at the house. Like, she's like, where did she get that gun? Where did she come from? You know, why are you trusting her? And then when Rafi starts saying all of that exact same stuff, my wife is like, thank you. That's exactly what I was saying. She's the only reasonable person on this ship. And, I mean, I guess I never... I mean, I see that point in that it doesn't make it like, where did she get that gun and why did she just show up at that point in time? And what you're saying, you know, from a structural standpoint, like having the Romulan agent talk to her and then, you know, that conversation cut off and then she just shows up and all that stuff, that like, that's all suspicious. But I guess I don't really... I don't know. I don't think that she's going to be a bad guy. I don't think so.
But I think that there is going to be a problem as a result of this, like, this inherent suspicion. I think it is going to be a problem. The structure of the series seems to be like it's very much like there's an obvious thread. There's the less obvious thread, and then there's the truth, which is neither of those things.
Yeah. Maybe it is that we're just ahead of it. I don't know. Like, Alison Pill's performance certainly seems to imply that she's not a bad guy. Like, her reactions seem genuine. You know, it seems like she's not... Like, the character is, I mean, there's no reason to think that she's that good of an actress, right? Unless maybe, I don't know.
Well, it's not like she's playing Alison Pill.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's...
That would be pretty funny, though.
Yeah. So, we discovered that Bruce Maddox is on FreeCloud.
Yeah.
This really does seem kind of like a... Apocalypse Now scenario, doesn't it? I don't know.
I don't know. In a sense that there's a journey to find this guy, yes. In other senses, no.
And I'm wondering, you know, Free Cloud, Gambling Planet, like they got to have like a Free Cloud lounge at Vegas or something, right? I mean, if they don't, then why are they even doing it in Vegas? Am I right? The Free Cloud Lounge.
I feel like you're like trying to like pitch like an integration like marketing strategy, but I don't see the benefit of it.
I mean, I just think it would be fun, you know. In the same way that I want to drink Twining's Earl Grey, I want to play craps at Free Cloud or something. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
Rios's little Han Solo-esque vibe is a little on the nose, but his holograms certainly make it fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the way that they sort of like threw his backstory out there all in one little info dump, that was kind of... A little clunky, but it's okay.
I find it interesting that they're also like implying that Starfleet has like a longer and weirder history of suspicious activity. Like, they erased a ship from the records.
Yeah.
That's suspicious. And it was called the Ibn Majid. So, like, what was it doing? Was it just, like, mapping stuff? And they were like, oh, yeah, we've got to pretend that you didn't do that. That's real weird.
It reminds me of episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones? It reminds you of Attack of the Clones?
Yeah, where they erase the planet. And there's that librarian who's like, if the planet's not there, it doesn't exist. Sorry, dude. And he's like, but it should be there. Like, all the stuff surrounding it would suggest that it's there. It's just like someone literally just deleted the planet. And the librarian's like, it's not there. Idiot.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Yoda, what could this be? And then Yoda's like, hey, kids.
Oh, my God.
Hey, kids.
This is so much more talk about episode 2, Attack of the Clones, than I have done in 20 years.
I'm just saying. It's just,
I don't even know when it came out.
It's just 2002. It's just like a super strange moment, you know, because he's like, kids, can you tell this idiot where this stupid planet is? And then the one random kid's like, I can tell him. And then Yoda's like, see, you're an idiot, Obi-Wan. Why could you not figure that out yourself? And then he goes to the planet and finds it. Anyway, it reminded me of that.
Okay.
Okay, so here we are back on the Borg cube. Oh, no, we're not. Oh.
We were briefly, and here we're about to be in a gunfight where Picard really takes some tumbles, and I got it. It was rough. I was like, oh my God, is he okay? Oh my God, that looked awful. Like,
I mean, he's already been like thrown across, like an explosion, like threw him across a, you know, courtyard thing. So this is nothing for
him. It looked especially rough.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a lot of pointy things in that arc.
It's a pretty well done fight scene, though.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, like there where he gets thrown over the thing. Yeah. I mean, like, I have my aunt is, like, 91 years old, and I think if we were to throw her over that thing, it'd probably not be good. Yeah.
No, like, most people would be in a lot of pain after that, but, like, he's in his 90s. Like, that, like, in our time, that would mean he would never walk again.
Yeah, I mean, but they do imply that, like, humans can live to, like, 137 or something like that now, right?
Yeah, they imply that they can live a longer time, but, like, it's still going to hurt a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, so, yeah, she shoots the ramen, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, where'd she get that gun?
I assume that when the guys were outside getting ready to storm the chateau, they were like, okay, no, I want the little one. Leave the rifle here. I'm going to take the sidearm. I'm good. I'm not good in close quarters with that. And so she saw that and picked it up and just shot him in the back. Boom.
Yeah, that does not sound like something a Romulan would do, but she seems visibly shaken, right? Like she did not expect to kill a Romulan when she woke up this morning.
No, but she might have expected to kill a Romulan when that was the plan that they decided on.
Okay.
And it might have been very difficult for her.
At least she's getting some Chateau Picard wine out of the deal.
Yeah. So, I'm not trying to speculate on the future, but I do assume, based on the way the show works, that that she is part of the plan, and the plan is not as obviously evil as it seems. Because there's another layer of this thing where this guy is like, she's not what you think she is. So, like, we think that she's an organic android, but she's not just an organic android. She's the destroyer, which means something bad, presumably. We don't really know what that something is.
Yeah.
But it did definitely remind me of, like, the Starbuck Harbinger of Death nonsense from Battlestar.
Yeah.
And in if we get a similar sort of literal justification for that statement, but not a figurative one, it would be a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be some sort of prophecy or something. I mean, she's like, I remember you from tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
And but I don't think there's any time travel going on here, right? It's got to be.
Whoa, hold on.
You think so?
Season two got Terry Metalis. I'm going to go ahead and say this. There's probably going to be some time travel.
Well, maybe. Maybe. You never know.
Yeah. So I looked online to find out what these are. These are called Pixmit cards.
Yeah, I just saw the subtitle. Whatever.
Yeah, is this a thing that's been around? Like, because I'm not familiar with this, having been previously established anywhere.
Well, I suppose we can go to the good old Memory Alpha and find out. Pixmit.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter. There's, I like this little statement where if she's like, a common narrative framework, like rooted in deep archetypes, but as relevant as the day's news. Like they just like, you know, let's just describe what we're doing to the audience just in case they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. It seems like this is the first and only appearance of Pixmits.
All right. That's fine.
Yeah.
So the Romulans are all screwy, having been freed from the collective. So maybe the Romulans being assimilated caused the cube to break somehow?
Maybe, because this was the last ship, which was assimilated.
Somehow she knows that.
Yeah, it seems like she has a lot of knowledge that she shouldn't necessarily have, right?
Yep. Man. So she's there to figure out what happened to the Borg.
Yeah.
So maybe she is more directly connected to the Borg than to Bruce Maddox's work.
The scene does have that whole cliche thing going on that we've talked about before elsewhere with, you know, like people drawing on walls and all that stuff, and, you know, the weird close-ups of things, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cliches of mental illness.
Right.
Some people just walk right on walls because the wall is just there.
And I guess technically they're not writing on walls, they're writing on paper and then hanging the paper on the walls here, but still, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, only a crazy person would, like, write something on a piece of paper and then put it on a wall.
Yeah. So this guy's going to do his old Romulan spit thing.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit surprised that, like, no one anticipated that he would have this exit plan.
Yeah, you'd think if anyone knew, it would be them, right?
Yeah. Like, it seems like presumably only this group does that. It's a pretty high stakes approach to the spy game.
But even with that, like, Picard just witnessed that happen, right? I mean, that's why Daj died, or how Daj died, so...
But maybe Picard was like, oh, he spit his acid at him because Romulans are like the Dilophosaurus from the Jurassic Park films, even though that wasn't what the real Dilophosaurus was like. Maybe that's what he thought. That's a different person playing a different mother. Like, are these girls stupid?
Well, no, I think that they just don't know. You know, I mean,
they don't know that they've got like different characters. Like,
it's quite possible that the two sisters have never met. right?
Yeah. So why do they know about each other if they've never met? Like,
what, because that's these, how they're these, programmed.
Why program them to know that they have a twin sister?
I don't know, but I think that that's probably what happened. I don't think that those were different women, but I do definitely think that neither exist in reality.
Yeah, the backstory between Daj and Soji is really strange. I don't know why, like, if Daj, like, knew that she had a sister, it seems strange that she wouldn't mention that. Soji seems to know she has a sister, and she's just like, is she cool? Is Daj all right?
No, Daj, was like, Daj oh, yeah, knew. She's cool. Daj knew that she had a sister.
Does she know that her sister is also an android? I mean,
well, no, she didn't even know that she was an android, but Daj knew that she had a sister. Because I mean, that was like one of the questions that we had in the first episode, but someone discovered that, like, if you, there's like a shot of her like phone or whatever, and you see her list of contacts. And she's,
yeah, we know
there.
That she's got a contact for a sister, but does she know that is her identical twin sister?
Yeah, she knows it's her identical twin sister because they talk to each other. They say that in episode two, right?
Do they talk to each other?
Well, I mean, that's how they discover that she has a twin sister, is because they started looking at the code, right?
Yeah, but like, how do we know that any of that's true? And why didn't she bring it up? It seems very strange that she learns that she's an android and doesn't mention, oh, that probably means my twin sister is also an android.
That's true. That's true. So here we have the Romulan siblings. They're very close, apparently.
Yeah, they're very creepy.
This woman, I didn't realize this until I looked it up, but this woman, she's on Mad Men. She plays, like, she was Don Draper's, like, secretary, and then I forget if she got fired or what, but then she ended up marrying John Slattery's character. I don't know. Did you watch Mad Men? I keep on forgetting.
I did watch Mad Men.
So you watched the whole thing, finally.
I did not watch the whole thing.
You didn't watch the whole thing. That's so weird to me, but whatever. It's a great show. And it's one that I think you would totally be into, but apparently not.
No, it's just that, you know, every episode I was like, oh, yeah, this is well done. I don't really care.
Oh.
That's the secret she didn't tell. I'm going with you. Yeah. that's weird. Like, there's one thing I didn't tell her, that I'm totally on board for your plan and I want to go.
Yeah.
That's not.
Like, she probably didn't decide that until after she had that conversation with her, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. There's a thing coming where, like, they're on the ship and
see there's that logo right there. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
What logo? The pin thing.
Yeah. I think that's like his communicator. I think like Rios is like, my ship needs communicators just like any other person's ship, and he's like, I'm going to design a cool logo for my communicator. And then that's what it is. Which is cool. Okay. It's cool that you can do that. Like, I want to design my own personal communicator for my personal ship, the Honda Civic.
Okay.
And I don't know. I don't know what it would be yet. Something film related, you know? I'm going to work on that, see if I can get like an enamel pin made, and then I can
wear
that
while
I'm
driving.
What about a
1-to-1 scale splicer?
That would be large.
Yeah.
I'd have to like wear that like a medallion around my neck, like the like matrix of leadership in
it would certainly make a statement.
It would. And then when people are like, I'm driving down the street and people are like, hey, why do you have a splicer around your neck? I'd be like, that's my communicator so I can talk to the other people in the car.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting thing that happens here where Raffi puts her hair up into this this like weird do and immediately looks totally put together.
I don't think it's really a weird do. It's just like a ponytail, right?
Is it a ponytail? It's like it's a very thick ponytail. Like, I don't know if there's a different term for that.
I think it's just a ponytail.
Okay. But it's very high up.
It is very high up. Yeah.
But, like, just that alone seems to make her look ready for action.
Here's my favorite moment in the show. It's not when he says engage. It's when Alison Pill's like, oh, my God, can you believe what he just said? And then Rachelle Hurd's like, oh, really? You know?
So she's already sick of the fans.
Exactly, right? I mean, that seems like, oh, it's a good moment. I like that. Oh, and then we're warping away, and I'm sure you're watching a preview for next week, and I'm not. So.
Oh, really? Have you seen the preview for next week's episode?
I did briefly. You know, it's kind of annoying because, like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go watch the Ready Room or whatever, and they're like, and stay tuned for a special sneak preview. And I'm like, okay, well, then in that case, I guess I better watch the preview that they had on the episode, which I didn't see. But in order to do that, like, I gotta, like, go to my phone and watch it that way. Because now, okay, if you do go through the Apple TV app, it still does take you to the Dolby Vision version. But one other thing which we didn't mention about that last week is that you can only get Dolby Vision if you have the ad-free version of CBS All Access. So there's that. But yeah, no, I did see the preview. And it's weird because it really does look like they're almost going standalone in a sense. Like, oh, here's the first adventure. And I don't know. But you figure they got to come back to Earth at some point, right? I don't know.
Possibly. You're assuming that that all those other scenes in rustic old homes are in the chateau.
No, I mean, you figure they're going to go see Riker and Troi.
Why are they on Earth?
I mean, maybe not, but I think they are. They're going to go see, well, Seven is going to come see them, but whatever. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
I don't like the clothes that Picard is wearing in what seems to be a flashback in the next episode. It looks very like British imperialist tourists.
Oh yeah. Well, you see him like wearing his like fedora and stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that look.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes you just want to wear a fedora. I don't know.
It's not great when you're in a foreign country, giving gifts to the kids and being the fancy guy from the imperialist power. That's not a good look.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Right. All right. Well, anyway, until then, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Picard, and the best place to do that is in the Babel Conference, which is our listeners group on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Just choose to send to a show and choose the line. Max, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at JMax Hagel on Twitter, probably other places, but I can't think of them at the moment.
Yeah, like filmdamagepod.com, where we do our show called Film Damage. We talk about,
that sounds right.
Talk about film splicers. You get to hear a film splicer in action when we're transitioning from one topic to another. You can find me there, and you can also find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K and on Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau and Tony Robinson. Thank you very much for all your support. And if you'd like to become an associate producer yourself, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for episode 3 of Star Trek Picard. So until next week, Max, the line must be drawn where?
Wherever Picard wants it to be.